Amtrak currently operates more than 300 trains daily, carrying more than 30 million passengers a year, and the railroad is hoping to make progress on some major projects and overdue improvements. So with the next president's talk about infrastructure investment, could the next few years be a boon for Amtrak, a federally subsidized company that has never turned a profit? Well, in September, Charles Wick Moorman took over as president and CEO of Amtrak. Prior to that, he spent 40 years at the freight train operator Norfolk Southern, one of the country's largest transportation companies. And he joins us now. Wick Moorman, welcome to Here and Now.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, first of all, I want to get a sense from you about how important you believe this moment is for Amtrak, because we have an incoming administration with Donald Trump that's pledged to spend $1 trillion on infrastructure. Do you believe that Amtrak could be a part of that?
Well, I certainly believe that Amtrak could be a part of it and should be a part of it as we move more and more into a world where there are more and more people who think that train travel is a desirable alternative. And I think the president-elect certainly understands the importance of Amtrak, coming from New York as he does. And I also believe that the critical Amtrak projects, and in particular the so-called Gateway Project, which involves access into New York City, is something that he understands the importance of.
Have you had a chance to speak with the president-elect?
I have not. We have spoken with members of his transition team.
And what were those conversations like?
Well, those conversations were really talking about the importance of Amtrak in general, but then the importance of investing in an infrastructure that's absolutely critical to the economy of the Northeast and in many cases is 80 to 110 years old.
So tell me more about that. In the coming year, in an ideal world, where would you focus Amtrak's efforts in terms of infrastructure, expansion? What are your top priorities?
Well, our top priorities in the Northeast Corridor are clearly the replacement of this critical infrastructure. If you look across the broader Amtrak network, we have an aging car fleet and an aging diesel locomotive fleet, and they clearly need to be not only kept in good repair, which we do, but ultimately replaced. And that's significant capital funding. But while I talk about that, let me also just mention the very good news. And that is that Amtrak has secured funding for the next generation of high-speed trains on the corridor, the Acela replacements. And that contract has been let, and work is underway on those trains, and we will be getting delivery of those in about 4 to 5 years. We've also replaced our electric locomotive fleet on the corridor, which was a significant step forward in terms of reliability.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned the Northeast Corridor, and you also mentioned a little earlier in our conversation that for many people, train travel is growing in importance as an option. But I wonder what you see as the major obstacles in the way of truly expanding rail travel as a viable means of moving around for folks. And here's why I ask, because, for example, in the Northeast Corridor, an Amtrak ticket from Boston to New York can cost a couple of $100s. And depending on what time of year you're traveling, you can get an airplane ticket for far less than that. So you still have a big price differential there for the same distance covered.
Well, you have a big price differential when you look at the cost of the ticket alone. But when you consider the fact that instead of going to Boston South Station in the middle of town, you've got to make your way to Logan Airport. And then once you arrive in Washington, you have to make your way in from National or Dulles. From a time standpoint, we're very competitive. And from a cost standpoint, we're much more competitive. And that's why when you look at travel in the Northeast Corridor, be it Boston to New York or Washington to New York, Amtrak has the dominant market share. We're the convenient, comfortable way to go. And as we like to say, you don't have to take your shoes off. And there is no middle seat.
Well, you know, we have been focusing a lot on the Northeast here, but of course, it's a really big country. A long time ago, there was conversation, at least at one point in time, about, you know, having high-speed rail on the West Coast. And Amtrak does serve other parts of the country, too. I mean, tell me about the national picture overall. Where would you like to see Amtrak expand or focus?
Well, that's a great question. And there are really two lines of business that we have across the rest of the country. We operate about 15 long-distance routes. Those routes link major cities together and also provide a lot of transportation alternatives to people in underserved areas. And so our goal with the long-distance train service is to try to improve the product and bring more people to the train. Having said that, it's not an area where right now we anticipate a lot of growth. Where we do anticipate growth is in the so-called state-supported services. And these range from a very extensive network in California and then go from Maine to Virginia to Illinois. I think we have 20-some states now. And those are the places where states come forward and say, we'd like to run passenger train service over a shorter distance and quite often into highly congested major urban areas where you really don't want to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that as a big area for Amtrak's growth in the future.
So, Mr. Moorman, if we can, at the beginning of our conversation, I mentioned that you spent 40 years at the freight train operator Norfolk Southern, right?
Well, you know, 40 years, 40 eons, 40. I'm a long-time freight railroad person, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, just tell me, what was that like and how does that differ from, you know, obviously the passenger rail services that Amtrak provides?
Well, they're very different in some ways, and they're very much the same in others. Clearly, hauling people is a lot different than hauling containers or automobiles or coal. And the customer requirements are clearly different as well. But at the end of the day, the things that it takes to run a good freight railroad are, by and large, the things that it takes to run a good passenger railroad. And so, as I've stepped into this role and looked around, I've been able to bring a lot of my experience and actually have brought a few folks in to help me look and see where we can improve the railroading side of Amtrak.
Mm-hmm. Amtrak, though, is a complicated organization because it does rely on some public funds. It's also not run as an independent private company because it is overseen by Congress. Do you see any particular management challenges there given the actual setup of Amtrak itself?
Well, you're exactly right in that Congress passes a fair number of laws that govern Amtrak, and they tend to, you know, be specific in some areas and what they would like to see and what they wouldn't like to see. But at the end of the day, Amtrak is organized to be run as a for-profit corporation, and our goal is to get there someday, and it may take a long time because passenger railroads in general don't make a lot of money. And I worry less about all of those things than I do about ensuring that Amtrak is a well-led, well-organized, and well-managed company.
Well, not to put too fine a point on it, and we were looking at some numbers for fiscal year 2016. Amtrak did seem to post record ticket sales and revenue, but still having that operating loss of $227 million or so. So as you said, not quite there yet when it comes to being a profitable company. But Mr. Moorman, that leads me to my last question, because obviously you are a trains guy. You've dedicated your working life to this form of transportation in the United States. Do you ever get frustrated because when we look for true high-speed rail, that's in Europe, it's in Japan, it's in China, other parts of Asia, they're even moving ahead with maglev rail systems in a couple of places. We're not there yet in the United States. And it seems as if for as long as the government doesn't really put its money where its mouth is in terms of developing our train infrastructure, that we may never get there.
You know, I don't get frustrated because I just see so much opportunity in front of us, even without that European, you know, commitment to spend billions and billions of dollars for higher speed trains.
Forgive me for asking this, but how do you see that opportunity there if the investment dollars to build those high speed rail systems isn't forthcoming?
Well, I'll give you a great example. The new Acela replacements we have, which will be capable of higher speeds, and we will have incrementally shorter schedules on the corridor, but they're also a better train. So I think we'll be able to grow substantially just through offering this superior product on the Northeast Corridor. And as you look around, be it the states, be it the corridor, be it even in some instances with long-distance trains, it's not necessarily that important that you have to go fast, fast, fast everywhere. You just have to be reliable. You have to offer a great product. And you have to tell people something that I think they're inclined to believe anyway, which is that travel by train is a great way to go.
Well, Wick Moorman took over as president and CEO of Amtrak in September. Mr. Moorman, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much indeed.